Blog Talk Radio.
This is Pastor Dean Judkins of Holy Ghost Fire Church, along with Pastor Charlie Sims of Holy Ghost Fire Church. Charlie, my man, how are we doing today?
We're doing great.
Doing great. All right, so before we start the show, I just want to give everybody feedback. Charlie and I did go out for breakfast this morning, and yes, he did have grits. So
yes.
We'll get that out of the way. So Charlie has had his install of grits. Hang on 1 second. Hello, this is Pastor Dean Judkins. Who am I speaking with?
This is Beth Judkins.
Beth Judkins, how are you doing? What a great last name.
I'm doing great, thank you.
All right, so we're going to have a little delay. For those people who are listening today, we're going to be talking. Beth is going to do her testimony of what she's gone through. And, Charlie, you know some of it as well as I do. She's been through a lot in her lifetime. She lost her husband the first time. And so we're going to let her do her testimony. There seems to be just a tad delay here, but we will get through it as the best that we can. Charlie, before we start, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Lord, we ask you now in the name of Jesus that as our sister gives her words of testimony, that, Lord, you'll ignite her words, that there'll be substance, there'll be truth, there'll be an anointing. And, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to listen to this. And, Lord, we pray that those that are hearing it, that their hearts will be open to receive and that you by the Holy Spirit will minister to them and they will receive from your hand. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. All right, now we have to, it looks like there's just a little bit of a delay here, Charlie, so it may take a second for her to actually, like if we have a question or something like that. So bear with us, that's what happens when people call in on phones and stuff, but Beth, my darling wife, my love, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. For those of you listening on Radio Land, this is a big leap of faith for my wife. She is behind the scenes. She's not at all a windbag like her husband. She likes to do things quietly and behind the scenes, just like Pastor Charlie's wife is the same way, I believe. Is that true, Charlie?
Yeah, she likes to kind of stay in the background.
Right, right. So this is an awesome opportunity. This is a treat for me. She's nervous, and she hasn't done anything like this before. So everybody who's going to be listening, just keep her lifted up in prayer. And we welcome you, Elizabeth Judkins, to the show. Would you like to be called Elizabeth or Beth?
Oh, you know, Beth, I'm Beth.
I know, and I will pay for that later. But, all right, so without further ado, Beth is going to give her testimony, some of the things that she's gone through, and this is a fascinating, it's sad, but the way God has moved in her life is amazing. So without further ado, Beth, could you start at the beginning when you gave your life to Christ, and let's go from there.
Okay. I guess as a child I was raised in church, Baptist church. I had good solid foundation on who Jesus was, who God was. I knew the Bible stories, the famous Bible stories, but like the back of my hand. And I could tell anybody at any time one of them. I memorized the Ten Commandments. I could recite Psalm 23 like nothing. John 3:16, me and my sisters would have a contest who could say it the fastest. So I grew up with a good, solid foundation on who God was. And then, as the enemy usually does, comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, pulled my family out of church. So for many years, I walked. I mean, I knew God, but I kind of had to put him off to the side and live my life what I thought the way I should. In 96, I met my first husband, Chris. We were married, had 3 children, and living a fairly decent life. Marriage was rough. We were young. We didn't really truly know what love was, but we were trying to make it work for our kids. In 2004, he had gone back to church. He had this huge push to go to church, and it took me by surprise because he was the last person I ever thought would want to go to church. He was probably one of the furthest people I had known from God, and he knew nothing of God. But there was a woman at work that he worked with that was telling him that he needed to come and experience the love of God. So one Father's Day in 2004, we went off to church together. And the love that came from that body of believers was amazing. For the first time, I think I had experienced love, the love of God, as an adult. 2 weeks after that, I had gone to church by myself with the kids. Chris had chosen not to go, but I felt like, oh, I really need to go. So that's the Sunday where I had given my life to Christ. So I was sitting at the end. It was the end of a church service. The pastor was giving an altar call, and I couldn't lift myself out of the chair. And I was crying uncontrollably, just a real deep sorrow. I knew I had sinned and had walked away from God. But with my eyes closed in that moment, I could actually see Jesus in front of me with his arms wide open saying, "Come home." And that was something special that only God would know to say to me. I've always wanted to feel at home and loved. And so in that moment, I felt it, and so I gave my life to Christ, and life got really good after that for me. I was able to then stay home with my children and homeschool them and give them a good biblical foundation, and for them to know who Jesus was and to fall in love with Jesus as much as I did. And I was fulfilling what I thought was my calling, wife, mother, homemaker. And things, like I said, were going really good. Then we'll fast forward years. And Chris got really sick very fast. And we're talking 2011 now. This is where I'll get emotional.
If you need time in between and stuff, it's okay. Take your time. We understand this is not an easy thing, but you know, take your time, love. Whatever the time you need, we'll be fine.
Thank you, honey. Yeah, he was, you know, he battled mental illness most of his life, and he had given his life to the Lord. He had served a lot. He did. Kairos teams going into prison ministries. He was working with the youth at the church at the time. He had gone on a missions trip to the Dominican Republic and had an amazing experience with God there. But there was always this thing in the back of it.
Hey, Beth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to interrupt, but can you join me here at the regular microphone and speak? Would that be okay?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and hang up. We'll have you join us here at the microphone. We're having trouble hearing you on your phone. So we pardon the interruption, but she's coming, and she's going to sit right here with us, and she's going to talk. She's coming in now. We flew her in special jet plane, and she is here now. Charlie, give me the thumbs up if when she starts to talk that you can hear her, all right, please. So here she is. Go ahead and continue on, Beth.
So, like I was saying, he had given his life to Christ, and I had given my life to Christ, and, you know, we were living a good life. He then became very sick. Really not sure what the medical diagnosis ever was, but the mental illness took on more than the physical. And so July 11th, 2011, my husband took his own life. My first husband took his own life. And that probably was the hardest day of my life, period, by far. In that moment, he had gone off to work like normal, and 20 minutes later, there was a knock at the door. The police were there to tell me what had happened. The police officer told me that he was at the hospital and still breathing. He had, so I knew I needed to get to the hospital. Time was short, but there were things that I had to say to him. And so I really felt the whole time driving there, I had, you're in a state of shock. But I knew that I needed to tell him that I forgave him, that I had forgiven him, that whatever he had been going through, I held nothing against him, and that I really needed him to know that God still loved him. Those were the important things that I said, and those are the exact things I got to say before he left. He died shortly after I talked with him. But so the next several days were very rough. I had family and friends around me. People always say they'll be there for you when tragedy happens. And the church that I was going through, the body of believers really came around me and held me up, prayed for me, stopped in and visited. But months go by and people get back to their own life and you're left living in that darkness where everything had been ripped out from underneath you, and the life you thought you were living is now gone, and so now you're lost. What do I do? So I did what I knew to do, and that was to go to God always first. And I grew in my relationship with the Lord, even in those really dark moments. I would spend time in prayer. I would do a lot of crying. I would do a lot of asking, why God? Why did this happen? Where did I fail? How come? Was it my fault? And then on top of all of that, though, I'm raising three children on my own and trying to handle my own grief, my walk with the Lord, but be there for my three kids who were young and scared and terrified. But never once were we alone. And I reminded them daily that God has us. But it doesn't matter what it looks like. God will never leave us. Jesus was always by our sides. A good friend of mine had come over one morning for coffee, and we were talking, and she said, you know, Beth, I just had God gave me this, and I need to share it with you. And I said, okay. She's like, I had a vision of you, and you were sitting on your front porch here. She said, and Jesus was sitting right next to you, and you were crying, and he just put his arm around you and pulled you in close and held you and protected you. And that is exactly how I felt through that whole time. So the darkest year of my life, I had moved through with God by my side, and my kids were doing better. And so I figured, well, Lord, if you think it's a good idea, I don't want to be alone. I have a lot of love to give, and I'd like to share it with somebody in this life. So I thought dating was the way to go. And so I tried several online dating sites, Christian Mingle, a couple of different other ones, and nothing ever really panned out. And I started to get more. It was in that time where I forgot to bring God into that piece also. And so I started chasing after the things I thought I wanted or what I thought looked good or with whoever flattered me the most. And I quickly felt myself falling further away from God to the point of one day, I think I shared this with you, Dean, I had gone to BAM bookstore and went into the Christian section. And I was looking at books, and for the first time in a really long time, I felt like, oh, my gosh, I don't even belong here. And I knew it was because some of the things that I was doing, some of the sins was separating me from God. And I had to get my life right again. And so that night, I had been home praying. And I had been on several dates and been in very short relationships with a couple of other men, but nothing ever felt right or good, and so everything always fell through. But that night I was sitting at home behind my laptop, and I said, you know what, God, I just give up. I'm not doing it. It's not working. I'm doing it in my strength. So unless there is a godly man out there, I'm not dating ever again. So I had gone onto this online dating site and was going through pictures, and who happens to pop up? This man holding a sign that says, Jesus rocks. I love God. And all about in his profile about how he was a man of God. And I thought, oh, I think I need to talk to him. And so I did, and it happened to be, well, Pastor Dean Judkins. And so through it all, through all the darkness and all the scariness and through all the fear and anxiety and worry, I knew God was with me, and I knew he had a plan for my life, and led me right to Dean, who happens to be my soulmate, my best friend.
Amen. Now, would you say that it's been easy since you and I have been together and married?
No.
And when you sit down and you say you wanted a man of God, did you ever dream that my passion or the man of God that you were looking for, his passion would be God first, like it is with me?
No, I think as women sometimes we're like, I want a man, but I want a man of God. And our idea of a man of God and God's idea of a man of God is sometimes completely different. But when you yield yourself to the will of God, you really do get what's best.
Amen. Amen. And would you say that there are a lot of people out there that, would your message to them be, don't give up, don't quit, you know, pursue God, and God will take care of you and fulfill your deepest, desires for him?
Yeah, honestly, seek first the kingdom of God and all else will be given to you. You know, God knows your heart, and you think you know your heart, but man, God knows it so much better, and he wants to bless you, and he wants good for you. So even though the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, take things away from you, and, you know, in when there's a death in the family, or your spouse dies, or a child dies, or your father or mother die, you know, you always are like, God took them. Or you hear that a lot, or God, why'd you do that? If you dare to ask those questions, God, why did that happen? God, where were you? If you dare to ask those questions, make sure you take time to pause and hear the answer, because he'll give you one. And it may not come to you directly. I know my answer came actually through Dean. God had showed Dean a few things before I even told him anything of my story.
You're talking about when I told you about what had happened with Chris and everything like that before
those,
you even told me?
Yeah, those were things that I needed answered. And God didn't give them directly to me, but he gave me the answers I was looking for. But I had to be patient and wait because they didn't come right away.
Now, you had made mention that you were brought up in a Baptist family. If I were to put you on the spotlight right now in front of everybody, tell the people what you think about speaking in tongues, because we know that, of course, Charlie and I are Holy Ghost Fire Church. We both pastors. We're both spirit-filled. We both speak in other tongues, and we love kicking the devil's rear end in Jesus' name. Tell the world about you. Do you speak in other tongues, sweetheart?
No.
Do you struggle in that area as far as believing in the baptism of the evidence of speaking in other tongues?
Yes.
Would you say that that I test a lot of things as far as the Holy Ghost on you?
Yes.
Are you my spiritual guinea pig? Charlie, do you do that? I mean, come on. Honestly, as extreme as you and I are in the Lord, tell me that you don't practice some things with your wife and stuff there. He's going the silent routine there. He's just laughing. Oh, that's so funny. But, you know, the greatest thing, Charlie, what is it like, Charlie? Think about it for a second. Now, your wife is an amazing woman, Sophia. I mean, I love her to pieces. And she's so lovable, just like Beth. Isn't it simply amazing if you think about how blessed we are to have godly women like we have in our lives?
I'm appreciative, very appreciative. Hopefully at some point in time, my wife will be willing to sit down and share with the people like Beth has tonight. But she'll have some interesting stories to tell and some funny stories to tell. Very much so. Because I know absolutely for a fact that when we got together, I wasn't exactly what she bargained for either. So.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. I think sometimes when they ask for a godly man or a godly husband, and you get people that are actually into God, they actually have to sacrifice a lot. Would you not agree, brother? Because we put a lot of time into the Word, and we're away from them a lot because of what we do for Christ.
Sometimes we are. I've been blessed, particularly this last year, to be able to work part time. And to be able to be home and spend some time and study to where when my wife comes home, I don't have to spend a huge amount of time away from her in the Word. But sometimes I do have to spend some time away. But it's much better than it used to be.
Do you think sometimes she thinks that's a blessing?
A blessing? Yeah.
I was joking with you, but
yeah, I'm glad he's up there and I'm down here.
Oh, that's funny. So, Beth, if you had a message for the people out there, I've noticed that there are a lot of ladies looking for godly men like you. We count a lot of people here, and 80% of them are probably female. Would you not agree?
Yeah.
And we make it very clear that we're happily married, that we love our wives. And but what would your advice be to that person who's like, they don't want to be alone like you? What would you say to them?
I guess you got to keep, don't sacrifice your own beliefs or your own morals to settle for some guy that comes along. But you really do have to wait for whatever is God's best for you.
How long when we first started courting would you say it was until I told you that I loved you? Would you say months?
It was months. It was definitely months.
And what was the reason I told you later on? I told you the reason why it took so long.
Well, that we had to learn. We had to learn. You had to learn who I was, and I had to learn who you were before we could say that we loved each other. There had to be a trust built and a foundation laid. And are we on the same page?
And so I would always tell you, if I remember correctly, I don't know you good enough yet to say that I love you.
Right.
And you would get kind of upset with me when I would say that. But, the cutest little thing I ever see is when Pastor Charlie, or should we call him, we're going to call Charlie the grits pastor from now on. So when him and Sophia come together and you watch them hold hands and stuff, isn't that amazing to see something like that, the love between a husband and a wife?
Yeah, it's one of the cutest things.
And then my wife gets all googly eyes and says, oh, isn't that special? Would you say, like, you're loving and affectionate and like to hug and hold hands and stuff. Would you say that Pastor Dean's that way?
He is now.
He is now. But I show you love maybe doing other things more than I do.
Yeah, you have to learn each other's love languages. Dean is a servant. He protects. He looks out for our best interests. That's how he shows love to me. He makes sure that in the winter, he makes sure the driveway is clear for me. And then long days, he makes sure there's a dinner waiting for me when I get home. And that's how he shows love to me.
Right. And then, and Beth is just, she's an amazingly loving person. That's what drew me to her. But I just want all those people out there, and Charlie, you'll agree, that no matter what the situation is, God never leaves you nor forsakes you, does he, Charlie?
No.
No. No, and sometimes we'll have Charlie tell his story where, Charlie, there was a time where you were gonna end your life. And that would be a good story to tell sometime. And, you know, thank goodness you didn't. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't be able to go out and have grits with you, and, you know, we wouldn't be doing this together. and to use a word that you use, Charlie, ready? We're in this together.
We are in this together.
So would you have anything you want to add, Charlie? You've been pretty silent, you know, this radio show.
No, it's unusual for me to keep my mouth shut, but I wanted to hear what she had to say.
Charlie said it's unusual for him to keep his mouth shut, but he wanted to hear what you had to say. That's funny. Hey, so we got about three and a half minutes. My wife's still sitting here with me. We're going to do the end of the show credits here, but we're doing Bible study live online on Wednesday night on Facebook. Charlie, why don't you give us a brief introduction of what we're going to be learning about?
Well, I have been toying with the idea for a little while of looking at the story of the rich young ruler and to try to go into some detail about this character, because it's only just it's not a huge amount of scriptures. It's only, but it's recorded in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So we're going to examine all three of those scriptures. We're going to examine the similarities between them, and we're going to talk about this young man and what he faced when he encountered Jesus, to see what his reaction was, to see how the Lord dealt with him, and to see what the end result was of this. And then to be able to take that and turn it around to where we can see how we can apply that to our lives as believers and what we need to do as believers when the Lord confronts us about some things in our life. And so we can take it from that perspective. And this is the kind of message I really love to preach, but it's going to be a thing where I'm going to pull back a little bit where I can teach and instruct, because the rich young ruler was a man that we don't know his name, but we know his story, and we know what he said and what he did. And when Jesus gave the story, it was to make a point to those around about him, and we can learn great lessons from the story of that rich young ruler.
Oh, okay, so as you're telling that story, I'm writing on a piece of paper saying, would you end us in prayer, please? And, Charlie, you know it's like trying to pull teeth out in the beach parking lot or something like that when we ask our wives to pray. And she just told me, I had my hands up like, please, please, please. And she said if I made her, quote, unquote, she was going to stab me. So it goes to show you. It goes to show you the things that we have to endure as husbands and pastors. So you've heard it live online, folks. She loves me, but if I make her pray the closing prayer, she will stab me. And we won't do that.
I know. So, we know she's joking about that. She just doesn't want we got it.
Yeah, no, my wife would never do that. She couldn't have a fly. But just for her to say that, she's over here laughing right now. So, But, Brother Charlie, would you like to end us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come. Lord, we thank you for Beth giving a story. Lord, we just pray that it'll touch hearts, it'll minister substance and life to them, and that, Lord, you'll breathe upon it by your Holy Spirit, and that you'll draw people unto you. And we thank you for this opportunity to come by radio, and we give you praise and honor and glory for it. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Beth, thank you so much for sharing. I know that was a big step for you.
Thank you for allowing me.
And that's about it. We're going to see you all hopefully Wednesday on Facebook as Pastor Charlie teaches. And Charlie, thank you for joining in, and I will talk to you soon. Love you all. We love you all. And say it with me, Beth. Ready? Jesus is Lord. God bless.
Amen.